Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology-agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
When we analyze ERP failures, it's easy to think that the failure happens overnight. Something happens, something big and catastrophic affects the project, it goes off the rails, and it fails. That's not true. ERP failures happen very slowly, they happen over time, and I'm going to talk here today about what I mean by that and what you can do about it. My name is Eric Kimberling. I'm the CEO of Third Stage Consulting. We're an independent consulting firm that helps clients through their digital transformation journeys. And I always say that ERP failure is a lot like death by a thousand paper cuts. There's usually not one extreme thing that happens or one bad decision or one mistake that's made that leads to failure. Usually it's a series or a sequence of activities. And what I want to talk about in today's video is to stop and unpack sort of a slow motion view of how projects fail, where the failures start, and what those underlying symptoms are that bubble up to the surface to create problems later on. So the first common mistake in an ERP failure is the whole idea of unrealistic expectations. Something happens early in the project, usually in the sales cycle or the ERP evaluation cycle, where the implementing company has some sort of preconceived unrealistic expectation of how much time, money, or resources that the project is going to take. Now, the problem with this is that it's often perpetuated by software vendors and sales reps and industry analysts and others that are trying to sell software. They are generally going to overstate the benefits of their software, downplay the risks, and it unintentionally typically creates an unrealistic expectation of what the transformation is going to look like. So when we look at failure, we can often trace it all the way back to the sales cycle early on in the process, to where some sort of decision was made, some sort of line was drawn in the sand of how much time and money is this going to take, and it becomes somewhat set in stone that this is what the project's going to look like. And the problem is, as we'll talk about throughout this video, those unrealistic expectations tend to trigger a chain reaction of other problems later on downstream. This whole dynamic of unrealistic expectations is particularly true at the executive level. Executives within an organization are particularly vulnerable to creating these unrealistic expectations because software vendors are typically trying to target those key decision makers, and they target those decision makers by oftentimes telling them what they want to hear. And what we all want to hear is that this project is going to be easy, it's going to be cheap, it's going to be low risk, and we end up making decisions and setting the tone for the project based on those assumptions. But the problem is that those assumptions are false typically, and typically these projects are more difficult, more complex, and take more time and money than we expect. So the key here is to not have unrealistic expectations. What I'll talk about here today is how those unrealistic expectations translate into other problems later on. So another dynamic at play along the same lines of unrealistic expectations, but slightly different, but certainly at the same stage early in the project, is that when we come out of the software evaluation phase and we've picked a software solution or a technology that we're going to use to deploy to our organization, we're generally pretty excited about it. We see the possibilities. We finally realize that our old system is finally going to go away and we're going to have something better to take us to the next level as an organization. So there's a lot of excitement there, a lot of momentum, and quite frankly, that's as high as the momentum gets and as high as the excitement ever gets is typically when you're at the decision point before you've really started to get into the meat of the implementation. Now, the problem that this leads to is that that excitement causes us to drink the Kool-Aid, to put on our blinders and look at what we want to see and not see the problems or the risks. Because we're excited, we're optimistic, we're human, we want to look at the possibilities and the optimistic side of things. And it causes us to fail to see what's in our blind spots, those risks and problems and things that we may not be anticipating. And the idea here is we don't want to dampen the enthusiasm. We don't want to undermine the momentum that's being built, but we want to be realistic and we want to be cautiously optimistic and maybe run at a more realistic pace rather than an overly excited pace throughout the project. And along with that comes identifying those risks and making sure we can proactively address those risks rather than just putting on our blinders, drinking the vendor Kool-Aid and believing that everything's going to be great and rosy and unicorns and rainbows. So this is the second step in the whole chain reaction that we're talking about here today. So we start the project with unrealistic expectations. We're overly excited to the point that we've got our blinders on, we're drinking the Kool-Aid, and we're not seeing risks. Now, the third thing that happens in the chain of events that leads to failure is that we jump straight into the implementation. The system integrator and the vendor convince us that we should start the project tomorrow. They send their army of consultants on site to begin building and configuring and testing stuff. They start tomorrow, and we're not ready. We haven't figured out what we want to be when we grow up. We haven't mobilized our team. We haven't made key business process decisions. We haven't mapped out our future state business processes. Yet the vendor's here, the system integrator's here. We're already paying by the hour for those resources to be here. In many cases, we're paying for the software on day one, even though we're not anywhere close to being able to use it. So the meter's running. We're starting to burn through cash pretty quickly, but yet we haven't figured out what we want to be when we grow up. And what we typically recommend the clients do is to slow down at that point in the project. Even though excitement's high, momentum's high, we want to get started. Maybe we have a hard deadline we've got to meet to get live on the new system or to get off our old system. Whatever the case may be, we don't want to overrush that implementation phase. In fact, we found that clients that take the time to slow down a bit and just catch their breath and have a clear, deliberate plan, a clear blueprint and roadmap, mobilizing their team, program management plan, all that good stuff, those projects tend to go better and speed up later on and longer term end up taking less time and money than the projects that simply jump straight into the implementation. Now, one word of warning here is that you will get immense pressure from your vendors and your system integrators to start tomorrow because you've made the commitment, they want to generate revenue as quickly as possible, they're going to try to pressure you and convince you that that's the right thing to do. But I'm here to tell you that jumping into an implementation too quickly can actually lead to a lot of problems later on. And at the very least, the first problem I pointed out to you, the unrealistic expectations, is going to come back to haunt you a lot sooner if you jump straight into the implementation because you're going to burn through money and time a lot more inefficiently than if you were to take your time during that pre-implementation phase to objectively plan out what your transformation is going to look like.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
So we've covered three steps in the chain reaction, the slow motion evolution of a failure. The next fourth step here that we often see is that companies feel the momentum, they feel the excitement, they're getting going on the implementation, the vendor and the system integrator are all excited, everyone's excited, and there's a feeling that we are ready for this change. Change management will not be a problem. Our employees are ready for the change. They hate their old system. They love the new system we're going to be deploying. We hear it all the time from executives, especially. They think that change management won't be a problem because they're ready for the change, and therefore, let's just start moving forward with the technology initiative. And I have yet to meet an organization that didn't have a problem with organizational change management. And by the way, that even goes for clients that hire us to do the change management. Typically, even they feel like they wish they would have done more change management in hindsight. And more often than not, companies crave more change management. And by the time you feel the need for change management, it's usually much later in the project, and by then it's too late. So don't fall into the trap of thinking that just because your people are telling you that they're excited for the change, and I have no doubt that they are excited for the change, don't fall into that trap because they will resist the change. It may not be intentional. It may not be severe. It may not be across the board, but you're going to have pockets of resistance that can derail your project and create a lot of problems later on. So you want to make sure to invest in change management early on, even if you don't feel the need for change management, or even if you feel like change management is going to be easy. I've yet to meet a CIO or project team member that regrets investing too much in change management too early. In fact, it's usually the opposite. So don't fall into the trap of thinking that change is going to be easy. That's usually the next step in the whole domino effect of failure. So the next domino to fall in this whole sequence of events that I've been talking about so far is a failure to see risks in general, a failure to look outside the realm of what's happening day to day, what's happening outside the room of your project team, your war room, and really identifying what the risks are and mitigating those risks. A lot of times companies don't identify the risks or feel the risks until later in the project. A lot of times it might come during user acceptance testing or during the training phase or right at go live. But at some point you start to feel the pain and you start to pay the price for all the things you didn't do early in the project. And the dominoes that fell early in the project typically lead you to not identify and see those risks. So really making sure that you have an objective quality assurance framework and a risk mitigation framework that allows you to objectively identify those risks and proactively identify those risks before it's too late. So identifying and mitigating those risks early on is a critical mechanism to avoid failure in your project. Once the several dominoes have fallen, as we've outlined in this video so far, it culminates in a sort of panic mode. The realization that things aren't as great as we thought they were. And usually this is late in the project. It's usually somewhere between user acceptance testing or training or go live or somewhere along the way in those phases right there. And by that point, you are late in the project. You've already spent a lot of time and money on the project. And any sort of change management issues or material foundational issues that are being exposed later in the project, it's usually too late to go fix. Or if you do go fix it, it's going to take a lot of time and money to go back and fix all the things that you should have done right from the start. So what typically happens is everything's great until we hit that panic mode. We failed to identify the risks along the way. We had unrealistic expectations. We were overly excited for the project. We jumped into the implementation too quickly. Everything's great until it's not great anymore, and now we're in panic mode. So that whole process, all those dominoes that fall along the way are typically what lead us to failure. And in the next segment here, I'll talk about what we can do to avoid some of those challenges. So one of the biggest things you can do to avoid failure is to be aware of these different trigger points and these different steps in a slow motion failure. These things that I've talked about throughout this video are the dynamics that lead to failure. And they tend to snowball out of control to lead to failure later on. And the thing with it is that the project was always destined to fail in many cases when you go through the sequence of event that I just described, but you don't realize it until it's too late, until you're late in the project and you feel the pain that you can't go back and fix necessarily. So the key is to identify those risks as soon as possible. I also encourage you to check out a tool that we will provide to you. I've included a link below. And I encourage you to take this assessment to see where your project stands in terms of overall risk and what some of the remediation recommendations we might have for where you are in your transformation. So check out the link below. It's a free tool that'll allow you to assess the risks of your transformation. So in addition to that risk assessment, I also encourage you to check out some of the links below. I've included a number of resources in the links that'll help you through your digital transformation journey. So I hope you found this information useful. I encourage you to reach out to me if you're about to start a transformation or if you're in the midst of a transformation, perhaps you're having some difficulty along the way or you're concerned about some of the risks. Feel free to reach out. I'd be happy to be an informal sounding board for you. I've included my contact information below along with a number of other resources that should help you through your transformation journey. So I hope you found this information useful and I hope you have a great day.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.